Hi, welcome to Sleep Fat Matt. I'm Matt, I'm fat, and I like to sleep. So, this is my podcast about mental health, sleep apnea, and my weight. So, today we're going to be having an interview with my friend James. We're going to be discussing anxiety. What is it? Why it happens? What happens in your body? And how to recognise it in others? So, going to give a little introduction. Introduce yourself, James.
Thank you, Matt. My name's James. I'm Matt's friend, have been for a number of years. He's asked me to do this podcast. And hopefully I can give you a little bit of insight with Matt into what it's like to suffer with anxiety.
So what accomplishments would you say you have in your life?
Sorry, I missed that.
What accomplishments have you got?
What accomplishments? My main accomplishment, really, I've got my children. We've got five children. And I also run a business as well, which is doing fairly well, keeps me busy.
So your life experience, you're a father.
Yes, indeed.
You're a manager, director.
Yep.
A son.
Yep, all of those things.
Brother, friend. So thanks for joining me on my first of hopefully many interviews on my podcast channel.
You're welcome, Matt.
So we're going to crack straight on with the first question. What is anxiety?
Okay, well, obviously, I'm not a healthcare professional. I can give you an idea from my perspective, you know, what I think it is.
Please.
So anxiety is essentially a heightened fight or flight response. So if you go back hundreds of years where we've been chased by tigers and, you know, prehistoric animals.
Bears,
it was essential that we responded straight away to those threats. So if a bear's chasing you, you know, you're going to do one of three things. You're going to run away, you're going to fight it, or you're going to freeze. So there's three things that you're going to potentially do. Mm-hmm. Anxiety is almost like a heightened response. So it can be that it's a perceived threat, so a threat that just isn't there, because there's rarely any bears in our life that are actually going to attack us. But things, you know, wind us up. So it could be, you know, generally you might get anxiety with things like road rage and things like that. You know, that's a form that can trigger anxiety. But it's heightened response. So when people are suffering, they tend to overreact to stimulus that's coming in, and it essentially puts them into one of those states. And when that happens, your kind of prehistoric dinosaur brain takes over. So your conscious thoughts, your processing is kind of diminished, and your fight, flight or freeze kind of state will take over, and you will find yourself in that sort of position. So that's essentially what it is. It's an overreactive system.
Right. So it's something I know we talked about before is perception of reality versus the reality.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. So, you know, the anxiety that we have, you know, it's there to keep us safe. But nowadays, in most modern living, we're not really faced with many imminent danger threats. You know, you might be out on a Saturday night out, and there might be some drunken guy that could rightfully, you know, initiate your fight or flight response. You might have to run away. You might have to fight him, you know, hopefully not. Or you might just freeze and hope he passes away on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
So there are times that it can come into play in life. But for example, you know, it might also be overreactive in some people. So you might go to a busy shopping centre. There might be a lot of people around you, and that can actually trigger your anxiety.
So it's the same reaction to whether you were being faced by a drunk versus actually there's a lot of people in the same place.
It is.
But your body has the same reaction to it.
Your body has the same reaction to it, yeah. And some of those symptoms, obviously physical, which I'm sure we'll talk about as well. But it's an overreaction to the stimulus that's really coming in.
Thank you, James. That's a really, really good talk about kind of what anxiety is and kind of how you perceive it. Next question I've got is, how do we recognise anxiety in yourself and others? So first of all, what does it look like?
What does it look like? I mean, I guess it looks slightly different to everybody, isn't it? You know, I can talk about how I feel it. I mean, I don't suffer massively from anxiety, but I remember fairly recently I went to a one of these like farms they have where you can take the kids and things. And for some reason, there was a lot of people around, it triggered an anxiety response in me. I felt that my chest was sort of being crushed in. I just felt, you know, a little bit distant and, you know, nervous.
Did you want to get out of there?
I wanted to get out of there. You know, my flight response was kicking in. I just didn't want to be there anymore. And luckily at that time we ended up leaving anyway, but even when I got back home, I still had those anxiety triggers. Those responses were still, you know, quite prevalent. And it really did feel like somebody was caught crushing in my ribcage.
Were you conflicted by the fact that you had your kids there? So you need to stay and help them, but yeah. You also want to leave. So does that add to the anxiety?
It does. You know, it layers itself up, doesn't it? So I couldn't leave because the kids were there when all I wanted to do is essentially run away. And you think, well, actually, this is a fairly normal situation. I should be able to deal with this. But my body was saying no. My body was saying no, panic, anxiety is kicking in. You need to get out of here. And it took me a long time when I came back home to kind of just calm myself down and get out of that anxious state.
So would you say that anxiety has dangerous or is dangerous? Probably dangerous, over-exaggeration, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one thing that's important for everybody to understand, that, you know, if you have an anxiety attack, a full-blown anxiety attack, it isn't going to kill you. You know, you will be fine. It will pass in, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and there's numerous sort of coping strategies that you can find online, or you can get some additional support with those, and they will help you sort of calm yourself down a little bit. And you know, it will pass. I think that's the only thing to say, but you can end up with, you know, physical symptoms. You know, you can be shaking, you can feel like I felt the kind of, you know, chest pain, you can get sweaty. You know, my son suffered from anxiety, he was sick. You know, it can have quite a lot of physical symptoms as well. Mm. Obviously running to the loo, things like that.
It affects me with my, I need to poo more frequently. I know my wife has it where she needs to wee more frequently in case, ironically, she can't go for a wee. That makes her anxious.
Yeah, and it becomes an anxiety in itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it became its own fight. The other thing is that there's a danger there is if you're not concentrating properly because you're feeling anxious, you might not, that's why they say you should never drive angry or upset because you're not concentrating.
Well,
and you may bump the car or may do something that you don't expect.
I think that's happened in the case of my son driving. You know, he's only recently passed his test and he's had a couple of car park bumps. And I think they are related to the fact that he's very anxious at the moment. And, you know, when that anxiety is sort of kicked in or just being out of the house has made him feel anxious, you know, he's made some mistakes. So you have to be very, very mindful that you are in a fit state to do certain activities. You know, if you know you're really suffering from anxiety, then don't drive and don't put yourself in anywhere that potentially could be dangerous, you know.
Potentially with anxiety, though, you could end up risking not doing anything because if everything's a trigger, I know we discussed it before, is that do we push ourselves a little bit? But it's a fine line to whether you push yourself too much or not enough. And you almost certainly know that when it's too much or not enough.
Yeah, and I think that's true. But I think the first thing that you need to do, I mean, there's cognitive behavioural therapy, CBT. If you do suffer from anxiety, it's worth speaking to the doctor about getting some CBT training. And some of that is how they help you identify what your triggers are, because you may not be aware. You may go out and think, why am I feeling anxious? You're not aware of why you're feeling that way. So the first thing is to try and identify those triggers. And then when you've identified them, think about why they happened and how they can either potentially be avoided if they're really kind of upsetting you, or things that maybe you can challenge a little bit. So if I'm getting upset every time I go to the supermarket and it's triggering my anxiety, maybe I should just go when it's a little bit quieter.
Yeah. Go in the evening.
Yeah, go in the evening.
Maybe if you're going with all the kids and that's not helping,
yeah,
go with no kids or, you know.
Yeah. And it's managing it. So you do want to kind of, you know, challenge yourself a little bit. But also recognise when the feeling's becoming a little bit too much and be prepared to just take a step back. There's nothing wrong with trying and thinking, okay, that's not what I can do today. It's a little bit too much.
Give it a go. But then notice it and notice all the little things before that, because a lot of people think that anxiety is this big thing that's going to come and get you.
Yeah.
But, you know, a pack of small bears, if we're going to use the analogy, could be just as dangerous as a big one. It doesn't have to be... You know, it might just be getting in the car that reminds you, that triggers your emotion from an accident you had. Yeah. And then when you get to the supermarket, you're already in a heightened state and that small thing happens. So is there a thing, someone drop you to the supermarket instead of you driving, you know? What can we do to minimise
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, that starts with identifying the triggers, doesn't it? You know, once you've identified the triggers, you can almost prioritize them. And I believe in CBT, they're sort of saying that, you know, if you rate that anxiety from 1 to 100 in percentage, if it's below 40, then actually you can probably just give it a go and see how you get on with it.
Kind of safe.
Yeah, if it's above 40, then, you know, those things you've got to really prepare yourself for, and maybe do it in stages, as you've suggested, so that you can manage that in a safe way. I mean, you know, anxiety in itself is not going to be a problem for you. You're not going to become seriously unwell if you have an anxiety attack, but you don't want to be putting yourself in a constant fight or flight or freeze situation. But
because it does tire you out. It does. You know, the effects are long ranging and take a long time. There is a mental health problem, so it's in your head, but it has genuine physical ramifications to your adrenal system, to your body. It affects you for a long time afterwards.
I know, Matt, that, you know, before you did this, you were saying you were getting some anxiety, and I can actually feel it now in my tummy. You know, for me, it's one of the first things that I feel. And it's maybe trying to identify these things early so that you can either back away from it or just prepare yourself mentally that actually I'm going to do this podcast this afternoon and think about everything we need to do, have my drink here, have everything ready.
I've got my script, I've written it down, I know. And in that case, once you do it and you've done it well, you train your brain to go, I can do it.
Yeah. Essentially, what you're trying to do is you're trying to say that, you know, my anxiety feels that every time it triggers, there's a bear that's going to eat me.
Yeah.
And it's trying to say, actually, there isn't a bear at the supermarket.
No.
There's nothing to be afraid of. You're not going to get eaten.
No.
But that's going to take time for your brain to kind of communicate with your dinosaur brain and figure it out. But it will figure it out. But it, you know, it's slow, gradual steps towards the goal.
Not just trying to run at it, because
no,
it doesn't, you know. And the same thing won't always work. You may go one time, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But the same circumstances, a week later, it may not be, but don't get disheartened by it.
And please talk about your anxiety. And the fact that you're listening to the podcast now is a good first step. You know, take it to the doctors if you feel that you need to. Talk to your friends. If they're aware of, you know, how you feel, they'll be able to help you manage it as well.
The worst they can say is nothing at all.
Exactly.
But people, from my experience, do want to help. They love you. Yeah. They want to support you. There's professionals out there. You can feel very isolated with anxiety. You can feel very alone. It's just me. I'm weird. I'm stupid. I'm all these things. But actually,
most people get some kind of anxiety.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to admit it or face it. You know, so you're being the brave people by actually saying, yes, I got anxiety, and I'm going to speak to my doctor, I'm going to get some CBT training, and I'm going to do something about it.
You know, I think, and it sounds silly, but I see mental health or anxiety kind of like a muscle. You have to kind of stretch it a little bit. You have to work at it. If you don't use your muscles, they kind of fatigue. But when you do use them and you wear them out a little bit, you have to let them recover. You give yourself that time, but you can get coaches to help you with that. They're not going to give you the answer, but they can help you with the journey through it.
Just don't try and do it in one day, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's a gradual.
You wouldn't
journey.
Go and run a marathon straight off. You know, you do that, let's say couch to 5K. You do a little bit and you try and push it. But you're not gonna go there straight away. It's not gonna work, and you may well do yourself more damage by doing that. Do you mind if I ask you how anxiety affects your life day to day?
It does. You know, it's one of those things that I know that I've got limits. There's certain things that I know that I physically cannot do at the moment.
You happy to talk about them? There's no worries if you're not.
Yeah, I don't think I want to sort of go into sort of too many details, but, you know, it can be anything. It can be, you know, reorganizing bedrooms and, you know, furniture and things like that. You know, they're attached to various anxieties for various reasons. Yeah, it is. And I know that I just can't go there. So I choose to do different things that I can cope with, that have goals, and I can see that I'm making progress. But compared to everybody else, maybe it's a lot slower, but it still steps forward in the right direction.
Because you're searching, if you go down the chemical route, you're searching for those dopamine releases by doing stuff, as opposed to the kind of cortisol, which is the bad hormone, bad chemical in your body that says that things are bad.
Yeah.
So you're trying to say, I'll minimize the bad stuff and I'll maximize on the good stuff.
For example, you know, I've been working on the garden recently. You know, we spent a lot of time there. We've got a new patio organised. We've got a summer house organised, climate frame for the kids. So we're
it has,
and we're putting our energy into things that don't make us anxious, but give us that the sense of achievement and sense of purpose. So, you know, don't feel that your anxiety, you know, is limiting you. I mean, yes, it does. It holds you back, but just take your time.
It's not all of you. It's not what you are.
It's not. It's not going to define you unless you let it, and just take your time to work towards those goals.
Do you feel that some of the positive things you've done, some of the guidance of, do you think that kind of balances it out a little bit? So by doing positive stuff and by accomplishing things, it gives you a bit of wind in your sails to be able to then say, right, now I've got that kind of bit going on, a bit of momentum, I can now tackle a couple of things which a bit tricky and see how they go. So you're not starting from zero, you're starting with a bit of, like I say.
I think so. I think it can give you that bit of momentum. You know, you think, I've achieved that. What's next? What else can I do? And those goals get maybe a little bit harder. But if I come up to a goal and I think, I'm just not ready for that, I just back away and I'll do something else. But I want to keep moving forward.
If you were to struggle with something, would you say that you would deal with it on your own, or do you get other people to help? Or
I think a lot of that depends on the thing. You know, so there's certain things that I've, for example, asked you to do, because I don't want to be on the phone about various issues, or I'm not in the right place mentally to kind of chase up suppliers about things. And I might say to you, do you mind just doing that? Because for you, it's a 2-minute unemotional job to do.
Yeah, and I enjoy it.
And you enjoy it. Yeah. But for me, it's a big thing and it's another hurdle. So if I can sort of just move that to somebody else and they're kind enough to do it for me, then that's great. That's a good win, because it still gets done, and I can then put my energy into things that I can achieve.
But, so, you know, and it helps me because then I can achieve things, and we're all good at different things. You know, if it comes to writing a letter, I know I always come to you because you are really great at phrasing things. Yeah. But if it comes to building Lego, then that's always going to be me. But, you know, it's a case of we help each other out because that's what we do. We're friends.
And I think that's the important thing. You know, you have to share this with your friends and family. And don't be afraid. You know, I know some of my friends and things, you know, family to a degree, don't understand mental health generally. That's not their fault. That's just their perspective. No. Some people will re-educate themselves, and obviously they learn about it. Other people are just afraid of it for so many different reasons. You know, maybe they've got things in their own past they're not willing to face. They've got their own anxiety they're trying to manage, or they just don't want to do the wrong thing. So everybody's different. So if you say to somebody, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I'm doing, and they don't understand, don't worry about it.
It's not their fault.
No, it's not. And it's not that they don't care. They do care. They just don't have the tools that can help you.
You know, I think someone said to me once, you know, if it was coming to change a nappy, my wife, Karen, she's brilliant. She can change nappies. I'm sure if I did it, I could do an all right job.
Yeah.
But I'm not necessarily the best person for that. And it would make me anxious. So why push myself into something that I'm going to struggle with? But, you know, I could say to her this time, can you show me how to do it?
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's
picking, you know, like a business really, it's picking the right people for the right job. You know, and some people you might think are able to support you emotionally and won't be able to. And other people you think that actually they, you know, they're not going to be able to, they're not a very close friend, will support you amazingly well.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask. No. Because sometimes you'll assume, and I think with anxiety, you assume a huge amount. So we've not talked about, you assume that I'm bad, they won't do this, there's no point in asking. Quite often people will, if you say, could you just, yeah, of course you can. But if people do say, can you listen, and say, actually, no, I can't, don't think that you're bad. It's just, they've got stuff going on. Everybody has their own stuff going on.
They do. I mean, one thing I would say, I don't know if we're going to touch on it later on in the podcast, but anxiety borders on depression, I guess, it tends to have a very negative bias. So you'll start looking at the world in a very negative light, feeling that everything is your fault, and that you're responsible for things, even though you have very little control over them. So just be aware of that. You know, all these things that are going on in your life, they're not your fault. You know, if the postman falls down outside your house, that's not your fault. Yeah. You know, you can't take accountability for everything. Just remember, it's kind of your brain you know, playing tricks on you, really. It's your brain's in a very negative mindset, and it will find a way to blame you for everything.
It always feeds on it.
It does, yeah.
It wants to fail, so it will find ways to fail, because that's completing something.
Exactly. But the reality is, you know, you're responsible for what you do. You are not responsible for what other people do.
I know. I struggle with that when I'm worried about the kids will hurt themselves, because if I don't nag them 100 times not to hurt themselves, the one time I don't, they hurt themselves, and that's my fault. But actually, I've talked to you before about it's not, you know, it's not you want them to get hurt, but you just can't just nag at them. You have to let them be kids.
Yeah, let them be kids. You know, and you can't control them enough to ensure that no kid ever gets hurt falling off a swing or something. You just can't do that.
If there's 8 foot up a ladder outside the house, that's a time I can moan. But if they're just hanging upside down on a swing, do you know what? Yeah. They're 3 inches off the ground. They're going to graze themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's would daddy say.
But the reason that you kind of do that is if that kid fell off a swing, it would send your anxiety through the roof.
Yeah.
So what you're trying to do is you're trying to manage it.
I'm trying to remove that.
Trying to remove that risk, but you can't. There's certain things you can't control. So you kind of have to look at it and say, well, okay, I've mentioned to the kids, they don't hang on the swing upside down. If they fall, they're not really at any risk, and it's not my overall responsibility.
Yeah.
So either get someone to take them off the swing and pass that on, or simply say, oh, okay, you know, if you fall off, I'll deal with that when that happens.
Yeah.
In many respects, because it is beyond your control.
And they won't learn. They need to learn that when you fall off a swing, that it hurts. And it sounds awful.
I hope this is coming across the right way. But, you're not responsible.
You can't rot them in cotton wool.
No, and you're not responsible. You know, if a plane goes up in the air and the plane crashes to the ground, that isn't your responsibility because you decided on that particular day not to go on that flight or whatever. That's not down to you.
No, but, I mean... that's been brilliant. I mean, I think what we'll do is we're going to look at, next time we have a chat, we're going to look at mental health and depression from that point of view. I don't want to burn you out in the first one. So just kind of wrap it up. I'm going to ask you to sum up in one sentence what anxiety is.
Well, I think the easiest way to look at it is an overreaction to outside stimulus that initiates your fight or flight or freeze response. I think that's as textbook as I can.
Yeah.
But it's an overreaction.
And I'm going to ask you, the second thing is to sum up how to recognise overactive anxiety.
I think, you know, perhaps look at other people for a start. You know, how are other people relating to that situation? You know, are other people scared of going to the supermarket?
Actually, are you reacting? If the kids are this way, as you can see them, why am I reacting when daddy isn't?
Exactly. You know, so you can use other people to kind of check in with, really, and say, okay, why are they not as bothered as I am?
Yeah, gauge of them. Use them as a...
But of course, they may not be paying any attention, so don't put all your faith in that, you know. But as a guide, you might think, actually, other people don't seem to be having a problem with going to the park, or other people don't have a problem with going to this place or doing this thing. So is it that I'm overreacting to that situation? And then just think about things that you used to do. I think, well, actually, I used to be okay going to the shop, going to work. Why am I not okay now? And then that helps you identify the triggers. Mm. There was a very good sheet, actually, on CBD, and you can probably find one online. Maybe we can even post a link somewhere.
Yeah, we'll post a link if we're allowed to.
And there's a form that you can use throughout the week, keep it with you. And every time you feel anxious, you write down the trigger, the date, the time, you know, what happened, why it happened, and what you did to kind of resolve it. And that helps you identify those triggers. Because a lot of time you might feel like this afternoon, I've got a little funny tummy feeling.
Yeah.
And you'll forget all about it.
By tonight, you've forgotten what it was and when it was. If you don't write it down, it didn't happen.
Exactly. But you need to write those things down. You need to keep track of it. And then, you know, through your CBT, they can help you work on those problems.
So come back to the last original point. Can you sum up in one sentence how to recognise overactive anxiety?
In one sentence, I think to talk about how to identify it, I guess I'm feeling uncomfortable, physically or mentally.
So when you start to feel a bit funny,
yeah.
And how do you recognise it in someone else?
That, I mean, we did touch on that earlier. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean,
Do they go quiet?
Are they withdrawing a little bit from what's going on? You know, are they staying out of the way? Do they just not look well?
Has their behaviour changed?
Yeah, that's it.
Do they look ashened?
Do they just not look well? Are they shaking? Are they sitting quietly? You
know? Is their leg shaking?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's looking at all of those physical things you might see, but also look at, you know, how they're talking. Are they worrying about things? Are they not talking? And they usually do.
Are they distant?
Are they distant?
Are they distracted?
So just look at changes in that person, you know, physical or kind of mentally, that seem, again, out of context with the situation, you know? And all you need to do is say, how are you feeling? Are you feeling a little bit anxious?
Make it okay to not be okay.
That's right. Because it is, you know, I think everyone, you know, mental health generally, we always go on about that person's got a broken arm and I can see that, I can relate to that, I can understand that they broke an arm. I've never broken a bone, but I can imagine it's bad.
It probably hurts.
Mental health, anxiety, depression, or anything else, the whole host of things that can happen, we don't seem to relate to very easily as human beings. Though when you look at it, you've got the brain, the most complex thing in our entire bodies. In fact, you know, in the entire world, really, you know, incredibly complex. And yet we expect that to be performing at its peak all of the time. And that seems to be the mindset a lot of people have. Thankfully, in schools and things, that's now changing and they're talking about it more. And this is about talking about things more.
And this generation, it's okay. Yeah. It's not taboo.
Yeah, that's right.
Mental health is not a dirty word. It's not a sense of failure. It's actually...
Your legs break, your arms break, you feel ill. Actually, there's something going on in my head. You know, I'm not seeing things as I usually see them. Chemical imbalances a lot of the time.
It's chemicals. Yeah. When you're anxious, your body releases chemicals. It does things, you know.
And that's why your tummy feels bad, because of all the chemicals being pumped.
Because it releases chemicals. So,
But you summed it up, Matt. It's okay to not be okay. But if you are feeling anything like that, please, please talk about it.
Definitely. I mean, it's been really good. I really massively appreciate James's time and honesty. It's not always easy to talk about these things because it makes things surface, but really massively appreciate James's time with me today and his honesty. Just a few call to actions. Subscribe to the show if you can. If you want to leave a comment, please keep it nice. If you want to request the show or ask a question, feel free. Closing remarks. We've got, these are just our opinions. I know James has said already, just our opinions. They're not medical fact. They're not for us. They're not advice per se. They're just our life experiences. We can hopefully share with you as if you're a friend. You know, we're all friends here. Everyone is different. I know James has already said that. And everyone would experience anxiety differently. I know James has just said, please talk to others, friends, family, professionals. They will help you. And thanks, James, for joining us. And we will see you next episode. Bye, James.
Bye-bye.